thank you. So the data I'm using for my talk today comes from the NIDA Cooperative Agreement, and some of my colleagues here, Dr. Fisher, Dr. Johnson, and Dr. Woods, were involved in the data collection during this project. So we just want to say we do not have any financial relationships to disclose, but we did want to acknowledge our funders that include the LA County Office of AIDS Programs and Policy, and my time is funded by a NIDA postdoctoral fellowship. Okay, so before I talk about the actual study, I just wanted to go over some brief definitions of reliability and validity. So these terms are often used interchangeably in the literature or sometimes misused. And when I'm talking about reliability, I'm talking about the extent to which an instrument is free from error. And I'm more specifically going to be looking at the test-retest reliability of an instrument. So that's how consistent people's responses are over time. When I talk about validity, I'm talking about evidence supporting the intended use of an instrument. And I'm going to be comparing people's self-reports of their amphetamine use with a drug test. So one of the first questions you might be asking yourself is, why is this interesting or why is this important to look at the reliability and validity of this data? In the field of drug use, we often rely on people's self-reports of their amphetamine use, both for practical reasons and ethical reasons. And we use this information to describe trends in drug use, to look at the relationship between drug use and other behaviors, develop our programs and our policies, to advocate support, and also to evaluate our interventions that might be targeting a specific drug or drug-related behavior. So clearly, in all these different domains, having accurate information about people's drug use using their self-report is important. The second question you might be asking yourself is, well, why might we think people's self-reports might not be reliable? One, I've listed several reasons here, and one of those is maybe people don't understand the questions we're asking them. Maybe they're not paying attention when we ask the questions. Maybe they don't understand the terminology we're using. Secondly, they may understand the questions, but maybe they don't recall the behaviors we're asking them about. So if we ask someone, how many times have you used meth in the last 12 months? Maybe there's just too many times for them to remember. They might be able to guess at that behavior, but that guess may differ day to day when we ask them. Thirdly, people might be unwilling to disclose their drug use behavior. So they may have concerns about legal consequences of disclosing drug use behavior. They may perceive social stigma attached to their drug use behavior, so be embarrassed about sharing it, or think that an interviewer might disapprove of their drug use, so may not choose to disclose their drug use behavior. And fourthly, I also noted that there may be interviewer error, so it's possible that a respondent understand the question, they can recall their behavior, they're willing to share the information with us, but an interviewer might not understand the terminology that the respondent is using or may make some error when coding the information down on a questionnaire. So here's just a couple of reasons why some information about self-report on drug use might not be reliable. So just to give you a little bit of background to why we ended up doing this analysis, we were doing a review of the test-retest reliability of people's self-reports of several different types of drugs. And one of the things we noticed was that, especially compared to things like cocaine and heroin, there were relatively few studies that addressed the test-retest reliability of amphetamine use. And especially because of increasing concerns in our communities about the use of methamphetamine, we thought it was interesting that relatively few studies have looked at how accurate people's information about their amphetamine use is. So that's really why we set out on this analysis. So as I said, this study is analyzing data from the NIDA Cooperative Agreement. So this was a study that took place between 1990 and 1999. It involved outreach to out-treatment drug users, injection drug users using heroin, cocaine, and also crack cocaine users. They were invited to participate in an intervention that involved HIV education and counseling, as well as HIV testing. When they enrolled in the intervention, they were also asked to provide a urine sample, and this was used for drug testing, so we're able to use this data to look at the validity of their self-report on their amphetamine use. And a subset of the people involved in the NIDA Cooperative Agreement also participated in a test-retest study, where they completed self-reports at two different time points in time. So we'll be using that data to look at the reliability of their self-reports. So there was a total of 23 sites involved in the NIDA cooperative agreement, and I'm going to be looking at data just from 13 of those sites, and these are sites that were involved in the test retest study and also completed drug testing for amphetamine, because not all of the sites did amphetamine testing. And you can see the sites are represented by the red stars on the map, and they're kind of spread across the United States. So for both the validity data and the test retest data, the instrument that we're using is the Risk Behavior Assessment, or the RBA. This questionnaire has several sections looking at demographics, drug use, drug treatment history, sexual behaviors, incarceration history, and several studies have looked at the reliability and validity of some of those other sections to the questionnaire. But currently, the reliability and validity of the amphetamine questions has not been established. So we're going to be looking at this in this study. So looking at the validity data first, this data was collected between 1992 and 1998. To be eligible to participate, people had to report current drug use, whether that be cocaine, heroin, or crack cocaine. They had to understand English, be at least 18 years of age, and also these were all out-of-treatment drug users. They were asked to provide a urine sample, which was analyzed for amphetamine using the Roche OnTrack test. So we have a total of 4,027 participants, the majority of whom were male. 39% were black, 36% white, 13% Hispanic, 10% Native American, and 2% other. As I said, these are all current drug users, and you can see the majority of them had, at some point in their lifetime, used crack cocaine and also powder cocaine. 59% had used heroin. And just looking at the last 30 days, 57% of the participants said they'd injected some form of drug in the last 30 days. Now looking at their amphetamine use, 56% of the sample said they'd used amphetamine at some point in their lifetime. And this includes both amphetamine and methamphetamine. And this slide here presents our validity findings. So you can see that 91.5% of people said they had not used amphetamine, and this is looking at their amphetamine use just in the past 48 hours. So they said they had not used amphetamine in the past 48 hours, and we did not detect it on the urine test. A further 3.4% said they had used amphetamine in the last 40 hours, and we detected that on the drug test. So that gives us agreement of about nearly 95% agreement between people's self-report in the last 40 hours of their drug use and the drug test data. I just wanted to point out that 3% of the people said they had used amphetamine, but we did not detect it on the test, and this could be for a variety of reasons. For example, due to the amount of drug they'd used, the purity of the drug they'd used, it could have just not been in high enough concentrations to show up on the test. There were 2.1% of people who said they had not used amphetamine, but we did detect it in the urine test. And I already spoke about some of the reasons we might find this, whether they were unwilling to disclose this information, they were confused about the question, or whether they didn't even know they may have used amphetamine, whether it was mixed in with another drug, something like that. We did do some further analyses to see if we could find any differences between those who were in the false negative group and those who gave consistent responses with their drug test. And we found they did not differ in terms of ethnicity, gender, but we did find they were less likely to report cocaine use and less likely to report injection drug use compared to the people who were consistent. So it may be possible they were underreporting other behaviors as well. Okay, so moving on to look at the reliability data. This data is collected from a subset of the people in the larger validity data set I was talking about. This data was collected in March 1992 and involves 11 of the NIDA cooperative agreement sites. It has the same eligibility requirement as the validity studies. These are all out-of-treatment drug users using cocaine, heroin, crack cocaine. When they enrolled in the intervention, They completed a risk behaviour assessment at time one, and then were asked to come back 48 hours later to complete a second risk behaviour assessment. And we're going to be looking at the correlation between their responses at time one and time two as a measure of the consistency of their responses. So once again, the majority of the sample were male, nearly three quarters were male, nearly half were black. We've got about 29% white, 18% Hispanic, 3% Native American, and 1% other. And the majority of them had used both cocaine at some point in their lifetime and also had used heroin. And this table here presents the reliability findings. So I'm looking at five questions, four of which were looking at their amphetamine use just in the last 30 days. So they were asked, how many days have you used amphetamines in the last 30 days? How many days have you injected amphetamine in the last 30 days? How many days have you used amphetamine without injecting? And how many times have you injected amphetamine in the last 30 days? And for each of these questions, looking at their recent amphetamine use, we found substantial test-retest reliability ranging from 0.75 to 0.91, suggesting we have pretty good consistency in people's responses. We also asked them a question about how old they were the first time they used amphetamine, and we found slightly lower test-retest reliability of about 0.64. So it seems that when people are asked questions not about their recent drug use, they might be slightly less reliable. So just to conclude, we found evidence that we're able to obtain both reliable and valid self-report data from current drug users about their amphetamine use. And this is consistent with previous research using the NIDA cooperative agreement data, looking at the cocaine use and heroin use. And it's also consistent with some other studies looking at the reliability of amphetamine use. Looking specifically at the reliability data, when a short recall period of 30 days is used, we're able to get pretty reliable data on people's amphetamine use. But when we use looking at kind of lifetime, the first time they use amphetamine, we find slightly lower reliability. I just wanted to end with some limitations, just to highlight a couple for you. For the validity data, we did not do any confirmatory tests to confirm the urine drug test data, which is a limitation. I also wanted to point out that people in this study, they would have already provided a urine sample before they completed the self-report data in most cases. So they would have known that we were able to kind of go back and check their responses using the drug test data. So this may have encouraged people to be more accurate just because they knew that we were going to be doing this drug testing. Also, this data dates back to the 1990s. As I said at the beginning of my talk, some of the things that might influence people's willingness to disclose their drug use is their perceptions of social stigma associated with their drug use. So it's possible there may have been changes in the social stigma associated with amphetamine use, particularly methamphetamine use, since this study was completed. A recent study showed that meth users often feel stigmatized because of their drug use. One of the things this study was not able to address is kind of recent changes in validity and reliability for people's amphetamine self-report. And thank you.